Mom plays a great part in the life of a daughter when it comes to what does it mean to be godly? What does it mean to be a godly woman? A daughter will grow up watching her mom handle life. Is it in a godly way, or is it just like that in church?
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob and Rosemary Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and we get the privilege of this week having both of you here talking about mothers and daughters. And we've covered a wide range of things of how difficult it can be, how emotional it is, and how mom is that really the example of a woman. Also, Wednesday, we talked on not allowing yourself to relive your childhood years through your daughter because maybe you missed out on something or whatever. And even yesterday, how mom is the role model for being a wife, but not even just a wife, not just feminine, but a godly woman.
There's so much that we could talk about. We could probably do it for three more weeks. I feel sort of like, wow, there's so many things we could say about it. But today what we're talking about is it is the most pivotal.
It's the core. You're right. I think that women in all three generations, maybe four generations today that are alive, are struggling for what it means to be a woman. I think the older the woman is, the little less of a struggle. And the older woman really didn't have many of the opportunities she should have had to be all that she was created to be. And today, we're struggling for what do I lead with as a woman? Do I lead with Christ? Do I lead with my body? And it's amazing to me to watch that seems to be a struggle for 60-year-olds on down, and especially in South Florida. And so what does it mean to be godly, Mom? We're Christians. I'm a Christian young woman. I'm 9 or 19, and I'm trying to just discern, what does this look like to be a godly woman? And is it from the outside in or the inside out? Now, when our children were growing up, there was a very religious definition, and it was all outside. You did the religious things. You checked off the sheet. A godly woman doesn't do this and doesn't do this and doesn't do this. And all of a sudden, they went out to college and did all of them because it wasn't the inside out. And so it's very important for a mom to spend the time helping a daughter make decisions, but working from the heart out to love the Lord. It doesn't really say in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, love the Lord your God with all your behavior. Trust the Lord with all your behavior. Trust the Lord with all your heart. And how does that manifest itself? And the warning in that verse in Proverbs says, and lean not to your own understanding. And that's the warning, because sometimes I don't understand why I can't do this. No, lean not to your own understanding. Well, what do I do? Well, in every decision you make, acknowledge Him. What does God want you to do? And mom is the role model for what it means to be godly and make godly decisions. And why?
I think one of the most pivotal things to communicate to a daughter is that what's important is a relationship with Jesus Christ, rather than you better not do that because God is watching you, and presenting God as something to be fearful of. So not doing the fear, or the other side of the coin, which is, God loves us so much that, yes, you know, it's okay. And being very careful in that balance of presenting not a fearful God or one that's so benevolent that He's going to overlook everything, but presenting that we can have a relationship with the living God. And when we have a relationship with God, it creates a desire to please Him. Just like when we have a strong human relationship, we want to please that person and make them happy and bring joy to them. And so I think that's the pivotal thing to, you know, communicate to our daughters, that they can have a relationship with Almighty God.
And the reason to have that relationship is the end of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and He will direct your path.
Right.
Why would I want to miss that? If I'm fearfully and awesomely and wonderfully made, and He's woven me together for a specific thing, and then Jeremiah 29 says, and He knows the plans He has for you, and countless verses say He'll never leave you or forsake you, and Romans 8 says, and what can we say about such wonderful things as these? If God's for us, who could ever be against us? Wow, I don't want to miss. I am made to do something. He wired me to do something, and it's so important to God that it says in Psalm 139 that He was watching over me while I was being formed in my mother's womb. So helping our child know the ultimate goal is to get on the path He's created you. He will direct your path. Why or how? Well, first with trusting Him and trusting Him with all your decisions. And don't get confused when you're with your friends and your peers. Lean not to your own understanding. This sounds good, looks good, I want to do it. It's that same apple temptation that's always been around. And then in every decision, acknowledge Him. I don't want my daughter to miss that. And it's very, very confusing as she is becoming, and mom plays an important role in that, on why she makes the decisions she makes and explaining them to her daughter. daughter why I made this decision rather than, no, we can't do that. No, we can't dress like that. And there's almost a flip side. We talked in an earlier broadcast of how I think, and you disagreed with me, but I think there was just a time where there was a Christian woman uniform that they
wore. It was the style of the decade.
It was pretty... Pretty little, yeah. It was pretty dowdy and little
cute.
House on the Prairie. It was wow. And all of a sudden there was a freedom, but the freedom has gone so far out now. And there's such a physical consciousness for the American female. And man, I think a woman ought to look great, and I think that's awesome. But I think it's what she's leading with that she has to be very careful. This is who I am is how I look and. I will never, as long as I live, forget. I was the graduation speaker at a private secular school here in the country, and they brought me in, and I'm in the back room before we marched out for graduation. It was a very $25,000 a year expensive school. And I had my black robe on, and after a while, it took so long for us to go out, they forgot. It's like everybody has their black robe on, and the faculty is over here talking, and I'm just standing there. And they kind of forget that I'm in the room and listening to these 17, 18-year-old females that are graduating talking about their graduation gift. Mm-hmm. And their graduation gift was breast implants. And I thought, you are kidding me. I was so shocked. I didn't say anything. And it wasn't my school. And I don't even, it was hilarious that they invited me to speak. But I thought, you are kidding me. Mm-hmm. You are kidding me. That's who I am. And that's what some parents allowed this child. You are now ready. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to do this for you. And totally forgetting that. And there's no reason for them to know this Psalm 139:14. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, but not quite enough. But it's marvelous, but it's not quite there. So, Mom, when you go do something to cosmetically enhance your body, what does that say to your daughters?
That's exactly where I was going to respond to that, is we have to be careful in what we're projecting as important. And like you said, I think we need to do the best we can with what we've got and look the best we can. We don't want to look dowdy and wear those cute little things we used to wear in the 70s, but...
So you're admitting that now. Are you actually coming out and admitting that it wasn't stylish?
I don't want to talk about it. Anyway, right. But...
It's going to be a long drive.
Point of it is, you know, what am I projecting? Mm-hmm. Am I spending so much money or so much thought on things that are surfacey, like cosmetics and clothing and all those kinds of things? And I think as women, we have to be careful of that. And we do want to be the best that we can be. But I think it's, again, modeling an example before our daughters.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, physically and also character-wise, when I hear of godliness, it's being able to be the person that says, you know, I'm working on that.
Yeah.
And be the person that says, look, we've got, you know, that you tend to do this, and this is what the Bible says. Let's work on this together, because we want to please God, like you were saying, Rosemary. Mm-hmm. And I used to, even as a youth director, always have in my mind, I want to teach them to think and do the right thing so they please God and life comes out better. What I didn't realize years on, it's like, hold on, thinking and doing the right thing has to come from the heart first.
Right.
And it's like wanting to please God needs to, that right decisions will come out of that if I really want that.
Exactly.
And so how do you even cultivate that into your daughter wanting to please God?
Well, I think the first thing is what we're talking about here, about being an example. And I think that she's got to see that you want to please God. And I think the most dramatic examples of that is in the Bible, between Ruth and Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
And that famous scene where, you know, where Ruth, when her husband has died and Naomi's husband's died, and Ruth says to her, I want your people, my people. And the pivotal statement, I want your God, capital G, to be my God. And so here was Naomi. She wasn't an example of prosperity theology. Mm-hmm. She had a lot of issues going on in her own life. Mm-hmm. She had poverty to face. She had the loss of all the men in her life and all the things. And yet something about Naomi's life and her example of her relationship with God caused this pagan young woman to say, I don't even want to stay here in this paganism. I want to be who you are. I want to be with you. And so there's something in Naomi's response to even the difficulties in her life that caused this young woman to desire to follow her God.
Mm. And these little things also have to come out in the little things throughout the day. When you have stuff happening in the home too, I just remember my mom, how many times I would say, Mom, you were right. Dad was wrong. Why didn't you, you know?
Yeah.
And she says, honey, I'm trying to get really good at figuring out when it is that I just need to not matter whether I'm right or not, right, and just keep the peace. And this was one of those times, mm-hmm, you know. And so I always kind of had in my goal, okay, I need to kind of be wise, mm-hmm, to learn and be humble enough to not matter about certain things. But I could see my mom working on her character, right, working on wanting to please God, even in the little tiny conversations throughout the day.
And that made you now want to grow up to be a woman like that.
Right.
As a little girl looking at her, it would cause you to say, wow, you know, when I'm a wife and mother, I want to have that same kind of, I want to learn how to do that. So when we do have great character in front of our children, it draws them to desire that in their own lives.
And the key to that was what you said, Ruth. You had a relationship with your mom so you could ask her. Mm-hmm. There are those teachable moments, a relationship when you, because you have a communication relationship, you could go up to your mom and say, Mom, did you ever think about doing this? Did you ever think about having that done? Did you ever, I mean, mm-hmm, I don't even know how to ask you that. You're my mom. Mm-hmm. But can I ask you that? Did you ever think? And for her to kind of be ready for those moments, to think through those moments. Or there's that teachable moment when somebody walks by who's, you know, mom's age, trying to dress like she's 18 or whatever, and mom saying, that saddens me for her. And the little girl saying, what does that mean, Mom? Well, she's my age and she's trying not to look my age. It's sad that, to me, that she's not happy being her, and whatever she's missed, she's trying to regain. Mm-hmm. But the other sad thing to me is all I know about her is skin tight clothes. I don't know that there's anything going on in her brain. Taking advantage of the teachable moments, mm-hmm, and the teachable moments, fortunately, are all around us.
All right.
You know, unfortunately, they're all around us, and fortunately, they're all around us. And so we need to use them as teachable moments. My kids are the only ones that see the real me. Mm-hmm. My kids see the real me. And so there are those teachable moments. It was interesting, and I think I've used this illustration before, but when Roby and I, long time ago, years ago, were doing a television interview on Father and Son, and the couple on the Christian television thing Kathy asked us, what do you respect most about your dad? And I really thought he was going to say something cool about the fact that my dad's written books and stuff like that. And he said, what I respect most about my dad is when he was wrong, he said, I was wrong, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Mm-hmm. And we walked out of there, and Kathy's eyes filled up with tears. It was a cool moment that I hadn't even thought of. It was because Roby's deeper than I am and smarter than I am. And we walked out of there, and he was 18 or 19 years old, and we started heading home. And I said, that was interesting. And he said, you know, I don't even know where that came from, Dad. But he said, I was relieved of some pressure when I finally realized I don't have to be perfect and I can say I'm sorry. And I think that's a real key,
yes,
for a mom. And
absolutely,
for a mom to say, no, I have made mistakes, or you just saw me make a mistake, or honey, can I talk to you for a minute? I was wrong, mm-hmm, right there. And I do want you to know I just went and apologized to your dad or whatever. But that's part of the communication. My kids got up. My daughter got up every morning and saw Rosemary reading her Bible in the corner. Rosemary would get up before everybody and be sitting in the corner reading her Bible, corner of the loft upstairs. And my kids knew that she was praying for them. And my kids knew that this was serious. And my kids knew that Rosemary took some stands on clothing. And it wasn't just because she was taking stand on what clothing our daughter could go out the door with, but she would spend time telling her why. And then she would take advantage of what was going on around us when somebody would walk by wearing whatever or having had whatever done to them and say, that saddens me right there for her, because there's more to her than her body. Mm-hmm. And there's a person in there. And I don't know what somebody did to her to make her think that's all I need to lead with is my body. Being a godly woman is the desire to live for Christ, the desire to keep the relationships right for Christ, the understanding that I have to apologize to my family members from time to time because my kids see the real me. And I want them to see a Deuteronomy 6 me where we talk about it when we're walking, standing, sitting. They get to say, I really, really believe this stuff about Jesus.
You've been listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob and Rosemary Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, wrapping up a week-long topic of mothers and daughters. And if you missed today's program, a part of it, or even the ones from previously in the week, you can listen to them online at parentingtoday.org, where you can also share them and sign up for the daily email blog. And for more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, find that online at shfm.org. Lots of resources there and ways for you to give. In fact, you can even give $10 now added onto your cell phone bill by simply texting the letters SH, short for Sheridan House, to the number 41518. And we hope you'll join us next week for another topic here on Parenting Today.